Bow our heads, please. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this gathering of men this morning where we can learn from each other. And we just ask that you open up our hearts and our minds and enlighten us so we have a good discussion and we learn more about you. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the days that you've given us on this earth. We ask for your blessings upon not only these men, but the congregation, both today and tomorrow and the days to come. And we just thank you for the things that we've been given and the gifts that you've given us in order to spread your word. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. So, when you talk to Scott Baker, you will find out that he was with me the night that I went. We were installing a job, and he was with me the night that I went across 277 volts and knocked me off a 6-foot fiberglass ladder, and I got scared. And I went home. It was about 3:30 in the morning when I left the job that we were working at. And I laid in bed, and about 4:30, I kind of figured, I said, you know what? Some people need the whisper, and some people need the lightning bolt. And I said, I'm yours. And at 4:30 in the morning of September 7th of 1998, I gave it up to the Lord and haven't been the same since. I knew that when I woke up that next morning at about 10 o'clock, I was a changed man. Had someone asked me what my faith was all about and what was going on in my head, I would not have been able to tell them. And I ended up doing giving testimony in an outreach down in Trenton. And the pastor down there told me about a guy named Ravi Zacharias. And I started listening to him, and I said, man, this guy's got something on the ball. And had someone asked me again about my faith, had someone asked me why I believe, I would not have been able to tell them. And in one of the sermons that I did in one of the local churches, I said, if you have someone that's fresh that comes up to you and says, why do you believe what you believe? And you hand them a Bible, they're not going to, you just can't hand them a Bible and say, go read it. They're not going to understand that. And I always tried to find another way to talk to people about why I believe that God exists, why God created the earth. So I've been studying apologetics ever since then. And apologetics, that word does not mean that you're sorry that you're a Christian. It comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to make yourself known or to explain, to give reason for. And what I did was I listed a whole bunch of resources and people that I've been listening to, and one of the guys that's listed on there, which we'll talk about a little bit, is not even a Christian. He was brought up in the Jewish faith, speaks about 3 or 4 languages, probably one of the smartest guys on the planet. His name is Dr. David Berlinski, and he's an agnostic. But he works for the Discovery Institute, and in some of the debates that he's had with atheists, you'll find that he, even though he's an agnostic and he's not sure, he sort of leans towards the side of a creator. But what happens when someone comes up to you and says, okay, why do you believe in God? Now, we're going to leave the Bible out of this for now, because we can do a whole week on some of the results that the Bible gives us. But I want to get a good discussion going about the science, how science can explain why creation is here, why creation exists. Because that's one of the ways that people can understand. If you just tell them, well, there's a God that was outside of time and space, and he decided one day to create the earth and create the seas and let there be light and everything, they're not gonna understand. You've got to give them some solid reasons, and I think there's a lot that science has to offer. And I've been studying this kind of stuff for years and years, and so much of it makes sense. I had a guy ask me one time, well, you know, didn't the humans come from slime? Didn't they? Wasn't there a slimy pool when the universe first came into existence? And all of a sudden, that person was created out of the slime. I said, really? I said, well, I said, let's think about this. I mean, what are the things that you'd think about? Here's a person that supposedly comes from the slime because of all the ooze and all the microbes and everything, and all of a sudden you've got a guy. How did they procreate? Where was the woman? Was the woman in a little slime pool right next to him? And they both came up together. And when they were babies, well, he says, yeah, well, that's what happened. I said, well, who fed them? What do you think? They're just laying around in the mud and animals aren't going to eat them and the sun's not going to bake them when it's 4,000 degrees? I said, come on, you got to start thinking about things. So this is what I started thinking about. And this is some of the studies that I've been doing over the years as to try to explain to people how we got here. And one of the people that I am in the Toastmasters, how many of you heard of Toastmasters? Speaking organization, teach you how to speak better and more eloquently and everything like that. And it's a great organization. And even though I've been doing motivational speaking for years, I joined that because I wanted to improve the way that I spoke. One of the women that is in our club, her name is Celeste Behe. She is married to Dr. Michael Behe, who is a professor of microbiology at Lehigh University. He wrote the book Darwin's Black Box. And I've been studying his work for a number of years. And when I met her and she told me her last name, I said, there's a God moment right there. This is the club that I need to belong to. And he has come along. You all know what this is. When you explain to people how we were designed and how we got here, it's something called irreducible complexity, which means that if you take any one of the parts of this mousetrap and remove it, it no longer becomes a mousetrap. It becomes a doorstop. It becomes a paperweight. Are we irreducibly complex? Yes, without a brain, we die. Without kidneys, we die. Without lungs, we die. Without a heart, we die. You can't you remove any of those parts and we cease to be human beings. So where did we come from? Did we come from the slime Richard Dawkins and Harris and some of these other atheists say that we just came from stardust. We just happened to show up. And we're all, because we're made up of carbon atoms, we're made out of stardust, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. But the fact of the matter is that no inert material, no non-living material has ever gotten itself together and created life. So if someone comes up to you and says, well, you know what, I think we just came out of the slime pool. Is it really? So where was everything before that? Where did that come from? And one of the biggest objections that people have is that, well, if there is a God, if God created everything, who created him? And you get this reverse process where it just goes back and back and back and back. But if God has existed for all eternity and he's outside of space and time, it's a supernatural, and many, many scientists have said there's got to be a supernatural reason why we're here. Even some agnostic scientists who are not sure that there's a supreme being. So we've got to give a number of reasons as to why we believe that we are here and how we were created. And there's a lot of, as I said, there's a lot of information in science. Let's take the fine-tuning of the universe. If you take a tape measure and stretch it across our galaxy and put a mark in the middle of that tape measure, if you move, and the galaxy, how many billions of light years? If you move gravity on that tape measure 1 inch, we cease to exist in all of that space. If you move the moon 1 inch, either one way or the other, we cease to exist. If you take a look at Jupiter compared to Earth is like the size of this coffee cup compared to a dot on the page. Jupiter is taking all the comet strikes and all the asteroid strikes, and if you look at a picture of Jupiter and see all these purple marks on it, those are strikes from comets and asteroids that are bigger than our Earth. And as Frank Turek, one of the great apologists, says, thank God for Jupiter. Otherwise, we would have been just smoked out. So there are so many things that are going on that we can explain to people that would probably understand from a more scientific standpoint until they start coming along and looking in the Bible and saying, yeah, this makes sense. So I just wanted to get a discussion going this morning about any of you anyone who's ever come up to you and said, you know, why are we here? What are we doing here? Who created us? Why do you believe what you believe? And these are things that I've got it right here in 1 Peter 3:14-15. I'll read 15. But in your hearts, sanctify Christ as Lord. I got to put my glasses on here. Always be prepared to articulate a defense to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but respond with gentleness and respect. You know why I listen to debates between Christians and atheists? Because if you don't know how the atheists think, you're never going to be able to explain yourself. And some of them are downright nasty. Christopher Hitchens was probably one of the most famous atheists. His brother is a Christian. So when you listen to debates between atheists and Christians, some of these can get pretty nasty. Richard Dawkins is just absolutely, he just cannot stand Christianity. And I've only seen one debate in which he was actually treating people decently. But there are so many, the thing is, there are so many reasons that people come up to you and say, okay, well, if there's such a graceful God and such a loving God, why is there evil in the world? Anybody have an answer for that? Free will. Bill?
Yeah, he's given us free will to make our own decisions, and the evil comes from us.
Yep. A lot of people don't understand that. In fact, Hitchens even made mention in a debate, he said all the Nazis wore a saying on their belt buckle, and I'm trying to phrase it right. God mit uns, is God with us? And he said, so what's the reason for that? I said, first of all, I said, just because they had that on their belt buckle doesn't mean that they were acting in a godly fashion. Obviously they weren't. They killed all the Jews, they killed the homosexuals, they killed the other people. They were doing, I'm sure they were doing that under orders. I can't see a lieutenant in the SS going up to Hitler and say, I'm taking this off my belt buckle. They would have shot him right there. So, things done in the name of Christianity doesn't necessarily mean that Christianity is bad. And this is what a lot of people have problems with. So I just wanted to get a discussion going because there's so many things, you know, why do kids die of cancer? You know, if there's a loving God, why doesn't he cure them? John.
I just thought I'd throw this out.
Yeah, just speak up a little bit so we can get you on the thing here. Yeah. You have to start asking them questions and ask and to try to get a base of information as to where they're coming from. Because if you don't ask them questions, you're never going to find out. And I told somebody one time, I said, yeah, I listen to debates with atheists and Christians. I said, what do you listen to those people for? Again, if you don't know what they think or why they believe what they do, you're never going to be able to break through that argument.
How many of the religious leaders at the time sat around the edges of the temple and listened to Jesus preach?
Yeah.
And they went, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I've been taught this. Mm-hmm. And in school, you're not taught anything about Christianity anymore. You're not even taught ethics. You're just taught freedom of choice.
Yep.
And I don't know what they're teaching anymore. When I see it, follow my mind.
Yeah.
There's just no common sense in it.
Well, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about today, if you look at it from just a basic perspective, as I talked about this, the mousetrap. Michael Behe from Lehigh was investigating it's called a flagellar motor, and it just propels itself throughout the the cells or whatever it does. This thing spins at 100,000 RPMs a second. It can stop in a quarter of a second and reverse itself and start spinning the other way at 100,000 RPMs. If you see a picture of it, it's got a stator, it's got a rotor. It's just a miniature motor. It looks like someone put together a miniature motor. And he proposes, he says, how did this come about? Because if you take away any of that motor's parts, just like you take away any of the parts of this mousetrap, it ceases to function. When we showed up, some people said, well, you know, we came from the monkeys. They said and the monkeys have close to the same DNA. We're only like 3 or 4% away from the DNA of monkeys. And they said, so doesn't that mean we came from monkeys? I said no, not necessarily. I said maybe it means that God created all of us. And the difference between the apes and us is the apes are in a cage, and they don't sing, and they don't dance, and they can't write, and they can't figure things out. So when you look at, when we go outside today, when we leave today, what was the biggest miracle of all? It's creation. Two guys back in the 50s, Penzias and Wilson, they won the Nobel Prize for discovering the radiation afterglow. And it was right over in Homedale, New Jersey, not far from where I was brought up. They discovered the radiation afterglow from what we call the Big Bang, the moment of creation. They won a Nobel Prize for it. Our choir director in our church, who is a patent attorney, she worked with those guys early on at Homedale Labs. And when you realize that our universe is expanding, and when you do computer modeling and bring our universe back to one point, it had a beginning. A lot of scientists think that our universe has always been in steady state. It's always been here. But what happens to us? We're born, we're babies, we grow up, we get old, we get a little gray, we die. The universe, nature brings everything to destruction, whether it's the trees, whether it's the animals. Nature brings everything to destruction. So, if our sun had been eternal, it would have burned out already. Right? You realize that? So everything had a beginning. Nothing lasts forever. Not in the scientific world, not in the natural world. Nature brings everything to destruction. The trees grow up, they die, they get rotten, the trunks fall apart. Pretty soon you got no tree. Same thing with us. So this universe could not have always been here because the sun would have burned itself out by now. And if the sun changes its orbit or degrees by so much, it moves another 10,000 miles closer to Earth, we're done. It's over. So we've got this fine-tuned universe that people say, oh, it just asserted itself just by chance. Well, chance has no power. The word chance is just the word chance. It has no power. So when you think about, and we're not going to go back to the Bible as a reference today because we could spend a whole nother week on it. Genesis, in the beginning, there's reasons why, scientific reasons why we believe that the earth was created and created by God. Some people say that, how about if it's not your God? Well, there's no other books in the world that say that Muhammad created the earth or that Buddha created the earth. The only place you're going to find that is in the Bible. So what do we say to somebody that comes up to us? Look at this miracle. Where do we come from? I believe we were created. We didn't just show up with a half a lung and then all of a sudden, 3 million years later, we had two lungs. We didn't show up with no liver and all of a sudden some microbe in the slime decided we should have a liver.
When you start to reverse engineer, when you take it back to the beginning, there was what? There was just God and a big black. Nothing.
Yep, a void.
We all like to watch the movies and we all, wow, that's CGI effects of everything, and we watch it and go, wow, that's really cool. I wonder where that's at. It's made up. It doesn't exist. Yeah. Parables are stories that are made up. They don't exist. It's just there to explain something, to give you an idea, to start an idea. God's one. God does, you know, some God wandered around in vast blackness and just said, hey, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah.
I can imagine wandering around the vastness of nothing. You know,
That was a question I had in Bible study one time, and you know, you try to figure it out and bang your head against the wall. You know, what was God doing before He created the earth? Well, He wasn't playing Pokemon Go. You know, He was just doing whatever He was doing. We may know someday, but to try and figure it out. So you got to get back down to basics. Where did we come from? Why are we here? Why is the universe fine tuned? Why does everything in nature, where did nature's laws come from? If I don't believe in gravity, somebody says, well, yeah, it's the law of gravity. It just showed up. Really? Do you believe? Well, I don't really believe in the law of gravity. I said, well, go to a 4-story building and jump off and see if gravity cares about you. Because you're going, whether you believe in it or not. But the main premise here is to get people to start to think. Because they're just not going to... I find it very hard to believe that there's only going to be a 98% of the people that if you hand them a Bible right off and say, here, read it, they're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. We've got to bring some other way of thinking to their mind in order to get them to start thinking about what's going on out here, why we're all different. And there's good reasons, as I said, there's good reasons in science to explain that. When David Berlinski, this guy is just an absolute genius. You listen to him talk, and he talks about tries to really deconstruct Darwin's theory, and it's really not that hard. You know, there's the survival of the fittest. Well, don't you have to be fit first in order to survive?
Darwin said himself, if you can repute any of my theories, then none of it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that was his own, I'm paraphrasing probably.
Yeah, yeah.
He said that if you can disprove any of my theories, then none of it's true.
Yeah.
And so, at some point, I mean, when you look at his where he was, his where he existed, the time that he existed in, there was no science. The science was so limited, it wasn't even
Well,
compared to what we can see and do today.
That's an excellent point, and I'm glad you brought that up, because there are some scientists and there are some atheists who say, well, give us enough time and we'll find out how we got here. This is one of their premises. And they said because of the advances in science, because of the advances in medicine, because Darwin didn't know what the cell looked like, he didn't know what the flagellar motor looked like at that time. The mouse traps didn't even look like this. They were totally different. Give us enough time and we'll find out how the universe was created. That's one of their thoughts.
Okay, I'll wait.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter still is that no inert material has ever, even in a laboratory, you can't just go scooping up dirt and throwing light and heat on it and expecting it to turn into a monkey. It ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And one of the biggest things that they talk about is what's called the Cambrian explosion. And the Cambrian explosion, In the Cambrian era, they started finding all these fossils, all these preserved fossils, but there was no record of anything like them before that. They discovered a whole bunch of animals and fossils and the remains of these things, several places in the earth that dated back to that, but there was nothing that came before them that even looked like them. So what does that tell you? Do you think that God just said, okay, boom, 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 here you are?
How many of us read the materials? How many of us take the time to read anything other than Scripture to sort of get yourself prepared for that argument?
Yeah.
I do.
And this is.
I'm that guy though. I'm confrontational. I love to get in people's faces. If I wasn't doing what I do right now, I'd be a fantastic lawyer. Because I love to argue with people. And I love to just let people talk and then carry on the argument. Okay, what about this?
Yep.
What have you thought about this?
Yeah.
Well, what about this? You know, and when you take every bit of knowledge that we have to this point, every bit of it, put it in, you know, terabytes, every bit of it, it's a drop of water in the ocean, what we don't know, but we haven't figured out.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, a lot of the elite, you know, sort of the smartest people in the world, as they were, like to believe that we already know everything, we're already there, and we're going to get this thing figured out.
Yeah.
No, you're not. You can take a billion lifetimes, and you're not going to get it figured out. Because just when you think you've got it figured out, somebody else comes along and says, well, let's think about this.
Yeah.
And it shatters your whole life's work.
Yeah.
The whole life's work was shattered in an instant. And somebody said, okay, well, what about this?
Yeah. The biggest thing that most of these, if not all of these authors, talk about is design. You come across this thing while you're walking in the jungle, and you know it just didn't get there. Not the fact that it was there, the fact that there was a designer. Somebody designed this mousetrap. What's that, Jimmy?
Anybody can build that.
Right.
It had to be designed. It's the things that I work on every day. Anybody can put them together.
Yep.
Anybody. But somebody has to design it. So make sure that all the parts work together, and that takes time. Make sure that all the parts work together. You know, they're just talking about it was hysterical. They were talking this week about the orangutan that they're going to try to teach phonetics. You're going to teach an orangutan. You're going to take my tax money.
Yeah.
To try to teach a monkey how to talk. Just so that you can prove that we came from apes.
We need to teach our kids how to talk. never mind the monkeys.
it drives me nuts, and it's one of the things that they're never going to give up the fight.
Yeah.
The reason that people, it's not that you can't believe, it's just that you don't want to. The reason you don't want to is because you have to change your lifestyle. That's the end of the argument. The reason you don't want to believe what we believe is because you would be compelled to change how you live, and you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I watched a guy tear a college girl apart in an argument like that. He said, whoa, is it really that you can't believe, that you cannot believe that this is real? Well, and they start to get that sort of, they hesitate, and when they're honest with themselves, they have those people, like the big book of AA says, they're constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. They can't. They seem to have been born that way. It's not their fault. You have those people. Don't even bother arguing. Don't even bother having a bill. Don't even bother asking questions. Because you'll be able to tell right away. They'll dismiss everything you have.
Yeah.
But you have those ones that are kind of like, oh, you know what? Start with that.
Just think about it. Just think. People don't want to think anymore.
And so it's that whole list of people that you got to listen to.
Yeah, you want?
Take one of those.
Want one? You get one.
I listen to Ravi all the time.
Yeah, he's great.
Zacharias, if you ever want to listen to somebody who is absolutely hysterical to watch how an argument with somebody about the existence of it.
Yeah.
It's hysterical. It's
Have a good one. So, you got to design. Got to be a designer. Right? Everything was designed. You come across this thing laying on the path, you know it was designed. One of these, I forget who it was. I think it was, I don't know, was Frank Turek or not. Frank Turek is from New Jersey. He is a piece of work. If you ever listen to him, he's loud, he's brash. He's got a doctorate in, I believe, in divinity and apologetics, and he's really, really a sharp guy. And they put up a picture of, as you're walking along in the jungle, there is a car engine on a stand, on a motor stand. And he said, that just must have grown there. Just must have came out of the ground and grown there, got roots and everything like that. Design, design, design. Everything that's designed had to have a designer. And that is the biggest, that's the biggest bone of contention, is the fact that a lot of atheists think that the universe just put itself together because there was gas and there was pressure and there was heat and there was this. Well, where did that all come from? And they can't explain it. Yes?
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Paul and Gary Taylor. They're part of a creative museum, and they were a nice young couple. I worked with a lot of youth.
Uh-huh.
And the arguments that go back and forth, the thoughts can be heated and they can be different. He said, well, don't bother with them. Mm-hmm. I come from a different standpoint of that. I like the kids to see them go their own thinking, because you can tell me or you can tell you whatever you want, and pretty soon you're going to start thinking your own way. I was blown away in my whole Christian life. I've never seen anything like this before. Like, in my entire life, we take trips, and most of these kids are not Christians at all. And we took them on a trip with Christian motivation behind it. It's great. Some kids even argue we're 19 years old. I'm not going to this. This is stupid. So we go in this little home. Okay, little one-bedroom home on the foothills of St. Helens?
Yeah, Mount St. Helens.
And we come into there. Some of these kids are nervous. A couple little brochures on the wall, very 70s decorated. This guy was an unbelievable professor. He was an atheist. He taught in like Harvard or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right away, the kids were just like, combative, like Jim just said, very combative. Like, I don't want to listen to this, it's stupid, because our public school systems are realistically teaching, you know, evolution.
Yeah.
And I'm taking the time to explain this to you, because I want to understand, you don't always have to give an argument. You can have some facts that are, even for me, are blown away. And I had this, so when we were supposed to have a little dinner, we put in $1.50 for spaghetti, right? I mean, they just broke us all down.
Mm-hmm.
With Christian love.
Yeah.
Right, just right in that moment, and tempers were starting to calm down.
Uh-huh.
And he basically said, gave us a little piece of scratch paper. On the back of the paper was even a phone bill. I mean, that's how realistic they were.
Yeah.
And he says, just want you to write down on here. And he put a little slide projector like they used to have, put the slides in there. I guess they're in the late 60s or 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he shot it up on a sheet, not even a screen. Very basic. And kids are supposed to write down what they saw. The solar system. He says, then we're going to zoom in. Then he zoomed in and told us the mileage. Then zooming in further told us the mileage. Eventually we got to the Grand Canyon. We all write down what we thought we saw. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. And then we talked about it.
Yeah.
And we broke bread together. It was really weird. Talked about it. And he says, how many people, what was it? Some kids just were meeting. Oh, that's the Grand Canyon. Pretty soon there was a consensus that we really were seeing the Grand Canyon. It wasn't the Grand Canyon. And he didn't have one argument to just start slamming everything else. He's letting all the kids run. He says, actually, that's Mount St. Helens 3 days after the erupted.
Wow. Yeah.
And you saw these canyons. Mm-hmm. No one had ever seen on planet Earth, as humans, were documented a side implosion of a volcano. God created things this way and that way. Doesn't say exactly how he did it, but he did it. He's giving these kids, some of these kids, even atheists, and parents are atheists, giving them something to think about. Right? And he said, and then one kid said, well, yeah, all right, so a kid's old. He said, well, all right, well, let's say that that's true. He said, you know, they have earthquake, and the guy never even talked about like religion.
Yeah.
But these kids were able to go about it. And he said this, and I'll close with this. The guy said, let me ask you a question. You're taught in school, and then he introduced himself to who was a professor, Harvard, or wherever, and this earth sciences. He says, everyone on the piece of paper that was an artifact was sitting on the table. The guy told us, said, it's old. Please be careful with it. Give me an idea how old that is. I mean, this thing was old.
Yeah.
Like, kids, there was not any of this, but it was like, really old, like, a million years.
Right.
On the other side, he says, flip over the paper. The other side of the paper, it was dated, the age of it, like 11.5 million years old, carbon dated. Put a screen up. He shot the thing with a screen. Here was him and an Indian tribe. He was an archaeologist. gave it to him as a gift. They made it for him when he was in his 20s. They dated it at like 11 and a half million years old. So he says, the point of it is that science, we don't know. I spent my entire life talking about this science. He says, carbon dating is a theory. It's not a fact. That is stuff. There's me holding it.
Yeah.
There's them making it.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
And the kids started thinking. And then this is what he said. He said, everyone knows that the scorching, everybody knows this, burn something to 10,000 degrees, it's not going to grow. For the first time in American history, we have a salt side inclusion. Things started to grow. Just look at Mount St. Helens now, 20 years later. The trees are all back.
Sure.
That didn't take 10,000 years. It took a couple of years.
Yeah.
Just we didn't know there was a spore that would grow. He said, so there are things there that when you argue with somebody, Christian or not, listen, look, and see. And I thought it was amazing. And this couple, former atheists, they're working their way backwards to what they did.
Yeah.
And they're amazing people.
Yeah, you just have to get people to start thinking about things. And if they're interested and if they want to go further, they will go further. A lot of people a lot of people won't. And that's my biggest contention is that we're here by design. We just didn't show up. I just can't imagine. And I try to put myself in the shoes of an atheist and just try to imagine the odds of us all being here. The odds of you being here when your mom and dad got together are what is it, 1 in 400 million sperm or something? I mean, the odds of people just showing up and then showing up all over the place at the same time. You just think about it. Like I said before, people say, oh, yeah, you came out of the slime. Well, okay, you were a baby. Who fed the baby? Why didn't animals eat the baby? So it's unbelievable to think that the odds of this happening, and then all over the world, and some guy, man came out of the slime. Well, where was the woman? Well, she was 400 miles away coming out of the slime, and when she grew up, she took a taxi, and they got together, and they had kids. I mean, you got to be kidding me. You know, these are some of the things that people just can't get into their heads. And some of these, some of the people, I'll get with you in a second, John, some of the people that are atheists have said that, again, it just happened. We came out of the stars, we came out of the primordial soup. As Frank Turek says, from the goo to the zoo to you. Yeah, that's one of his famous lines. Yeah, you have to do that. I mean, you can't have any kind of an intelligent discussion unless you just calm down and say, okay, why do you believe what you do? And we just have to be prepared to give those answers as best we can. Like what Bill said, we talked about evil. You know, if an author writes a book that incites people to riot and they go out and kill people, does that mean that all authors are bad? No. Has there been stupid things done in the name of God and Christianity? Obviously. Of course there have been. But now we're here. We've got to try and calm that down. We've got to lead by example, and we have to know what we're talking about. Yeah.
This doesn't sound too ridiculous, but what about dinosaurs? Where do they fit in this whole thing? I don't remember reading about them in the Bible.
Yeah.
They're still here. We as scientists basically say it's that period they died off. They're still here.
Yeah. I've only come across one discussion about that, and it was just so minimal that I never really bothered to get into that. But that's a real good question, especially did the cavemen live at the same time dinosaurs did and all of that. Go ahead. Really? Yeah. Yeah, I just don't. That's something that I've never explored during all of this because they're.
Never hear anybody talk about it. No offense to him, that the answer doesn't help me.
Yeah.
But, not that I have to help, but I guess maybe
it's something that I just never got into. because there were so many other, there were more important points, especially, as I said, when you talk about design. Hi, how are you? Good. When you talk about design and the fact that everything was designed, I think that's one of the places where you really have to start. It's like looking at a 747 and saying, what do you think? You think a tornado blew through a junkyard, and after the tornado was gone, there was a 747 there that was fully capable of flying? No. I mean, things are too complex, and that means information. It means information. You have to have information. Look at the DNA. You get into the DNA. You can get into the cell structure. Why does the DNA? Why am I different from Bill? Different DNA, different parents, different cell structure. It's complexity. It's not just a blob. It's not just a jellyfish laying on the beach. You know, there's a couple of atheists that said, well, you know why? You know, the panda. The only thing that the panda can do is you know, uses his thumb and his paws or whatever to eat bamboo. He says, why wasn't it designed better? So, well, you got to get into the mind of the designer. What do you care that it's enough food they eat? And another one of the other atheists said, well, we just showed up here and we adapted to life on Earth. Really? Well, you got the sun, you got water, you got food. Where did all that come from at the same time? I mean, you got to be kidding me. It was here. It didn't just, you know. As I said to somebody one time, we just didn't pop out of a bag that fell off a shelf at Walmart. You got to start thinking about the complexity.
But you talk about the this question about the dinosaurs. I mean, these are key things that kids are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, and they ask me, they say, "Well, where are they going?" And the bottom line here is that if you believe what the Bible has to say, you know, God destroyed the earth, and then Noah. Maybe God didn't want like brontosaurus as one. He didn't say he was bringing everyone.
Yeah.
He told him which ones to put on the earth.
And that's what I need to hear. So they're beforehand, I guess, apparently.
Yeah, and everyone knows there was an ice age. You know, you go to Hancock and see the evidence of that.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, there was an ice age. All these things happened. You know, you see whole cities that are under sea, you know, that are buried under from volcanic and stuff like that. But not one of those things just proves. You know, I mean, you see a dinosaur, you see the bones, you go to the thing, you see it, it's there. But why God didn't put that on the particular part to bring it over, I don't know.
There's scientific evidence for the flood. I just listened to a talk this week about some of the cities that they're finding under the water, 150 feet under the water. They weren't scuba diving. They didn't bring cranes under there and start slapping bricks together under the water. They were there. There's evidence for a great flood, and a lot of people just don't want to believe it. And I think it gets down to the point. I said, okay, let's not believe the God of the Bible. What if there's a creator and his name is Ed, and he did all of this? See, people can't get their minds wrapped around the fact that there might be something supernatural going on out there. You know why? Because we don't see it. We don't. I can't levitate him off the thing, so obviously it's not supernatural. I can't disappear. I can't be at that door at the same time I'm sitting here. Oh, the Bible's got a lot of. I mean, when you look at it as a reason for apologetics, there's a lot of things, and I didn't want to get into that today, but we may do it in the last couple of minutes, just real quick. But the fact of the matter is, you got to start impressing upon people, if they're willing to talk to you, that designs have a designer, and all the things that you see out there just didn't show up. It has to go back to a designer, whether they believe in the God of the Bible, whether they believe in a supernatural force. But the thing is, we got to get people to start thinking other than what they're thinking. Just ask them, you know, why do you believe what you believe? Well, I can't believe that, you know, that we were created. Well, how do you think we got here? Well, we came out of the mud. Really? Okay, well, then there had to be a guy and a gal, right? You even talk about sex, procreation. If there's some cells that are an amoeba that are asexual and they just produce, why did we have to have a man and woman? Why just didn't we just feel like popping out a baby, whatever you are? We just pop out a baby in so many months' time, and you didn't have to get married, and you didn't have to have a girlfriend, or a gal didn't have to have a boyfriend or a husband. You know, there's just so many things. But you've got to go back to that fact of the fact that there's design that happened, and that's what you have to, I think, start impressing upon people at first. Start getting them to think about this whole creation when they look up at the stars at night. And when they look up at the moon and gravity and why everything is fine-tuned. And why everything is just, why we're not just, we're blowing apart, even though our universe is expanding. Christopher Hitchens even said, well, you know, there were so many animal forms that have become extinct that, you know, 70 or 80 or 90% of them become extinct. So what? What's that got to do with thinking about God? What's the big deal? Things go out in and out of existence all the time. It's absolutely amazing. And to think, and people can't wrap their mind around the fact that there is a supreme being that has the power to do this. You know, there was a black playwright years ago, and she wrote a play. I forget her name, and I used to talk about her in some of my sermons, but I still mention it. Is that the name of the play was "Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God." And sometimes you just got to take things as a Christian on face value, and it's that leap of faith. It's a leap of faith that a lot of people can't seem to have to explain how we got here and why things are here, and what we're here for. Look at the talents. Look at the talents that everybody's got here. And a lot of people, even did the atheists, talk about moral reasoning. How do we know what's good from bad? A lot of people think that morality is just subjective. You know, what's right, what was right? If morality is subjective, that means that the Nazis didn't do any wrong when they killed all the Jews in the oven. You listen to a debate. I almost put my hand through the computer screen yesterday. I was listening to a debate between Frank Turek and David Silverman. And they're friends, but they've gotten into some heated debates. And I'll tell you what, I felt like taking my laptop yesterday and throwing it through the window. I was so frustrated at David Silverman, and he's a good debater. He's an atheist. And he was talking about subjective morality, and his thought was that God does not write, you know, what's good and evil on our hearts. We should know from being, you know, from growing up in society what good and evil is. But I think even from when we're small, we know what good and evil is. And if it's all subjective, that means that I can go to your house and break in and smack your wife around and walk away, because that's just my opinion. And the Nazis, the killing all the Jews and the homosexuals, that was just their opinion. But we should know right from wrong, and it's supposed to be written on our hearts. But a lot of atheists don't think so. They think that we should just know this from being in society, but that it's a matter of opinion as to what good and evil is. So if you and Rabbi Zacharias puts it perfectly. He said, if you think there's evil, then you must think there's good. And if there's good, that means there's someone that that gave us the laws of, so to speak, of good and evil, and there had to be a lawgiver. And if there's a lawgiver, who is that? He believes it was God. If you don't believe that there's a lawgiver, then anything goes. So it's a question of morality, where some atheists think that we should just know about it, and Christians that it was written on our hearts when we were. Enough warning. He said, listen, dude, stop doing what you're doing. How many years have I been telling you? Stop doing what you're doing. You haven't stopped? Okay. You're done. You're finished. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. And there's a lot of things that you just can't argue. Christopher Hitchens, when he was debating... Well, not only Frank Turek, but a couple of other Christian apologist, said, name one thing. He said, can there be good atheists? Of course. Can they do, you know, can they do, she was brought up, well, Christians do a lot of charity. He said, well, atheists can do charity too. Is that true? Of course it's true. Can atheists be good people? Absolutely. Now, Christopher Hitchens said, name one thing a Christian can do that an atheist can't do. And I thought that was a very, very good question. And that thing, ever since I heard that question, has been bouncing around in my head. We can be saved. But other than that, physically or charity-wise, is there anything a Christian can do that an atheist can't? Not really. What's that? That's true, but they, but yeah, but do you understand what I'm saying? Is that there? He's trying to bring some balance there, where you'd really have to get into a supernatural type thing. You know, he brings that up too. So there's he tries to bring that to a supernatural level, to where we can do something that an atheist can. And that's a very, very good question. And I've been pondering that for a long time. Yeah.
Basically, in a nutshell, what these higher critics try to do is they're trying to bring God down to the level of man.
Well, they are. I mean, Hitchens even said, and
if I can't see it, I won't believe it.
Yeah.
That's what my brother said.
Yeah.
I said, well, David, I can't show you personally that God's here, but one thing, you're going to face him either in mercy or judgment.
Yeah.
Basically.
I found out that before Christopher Hitchens died several years ago, I found out that one of the pastors that I was listening to did a Bible study with him before he died, and he was an avowed atheist, Hitchens. Unbelievable. And he was doing Bible studies. You know, we get back to the I wanted to try to purposely stay away from the Bible today. What time is it? But one of the things that people need to understand is that they need to start thinking about, if they really want to get into a good, honest, intellectual discussion, they really need to start thinking about how they got here and why they're here. As I mentioned before, you look at all these talents that we have. I don't know what talents you guys have. I've been musically inclined. I've been playing for 40 years. I don't know where that came from. My dad was a drummer. My son's a drummer. I don't know. Is it in the DNA? Has God written it on our hearts that we should go out and entertain people? I don't know. But I don't think it just comes from... I don't think it just shows up. I think, you know, we get all these talents and everything.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a gift. I believe it is a gift, absolutely. I absolutely believe it's a gift. You know, healing, speaking, I can't think of the word. Comforting people when you go, you know, hospital visits, things like that. We all have gifts like that. Where'd they come from? I think they were given to us, and you just have to realize it. This whole thing is just, I mean, we could go weeks on this. It just encompasses this whole life that we're living. And we just have to be prepared to speak about it. A lot of people think that the Bible is phony. Hitchens, Christopher Hitchens, and the reason I mention him all the time is because he brought up a lot of good points. He said, when I die, I don't want to be judged. I don't want to be judged by anybody. And if I saved, I don't want to sing forever. I don't want to be happy forever. He actually said that. I'm thinking to myself, man, oh man. I said, you know, I mean, we just have no idea. The ear is not heard or the eye is not seen. What's in store for us? And, you know, to get into the Bible, you know, Jesus rises from the dead. You got women that have no standing. We'll get away from the scientific stuff. We got women who have no standing back then. Who does he reveal himself first to? Mary Magdalene. Who would have believed that story? When Jesus is in the garden and they come to get him, what do the apostles do? They head out for the hills. Why didn't they write, oh yeah, we're tough guys, man. We took those soldiers and we beat the snot out of them. No, they ran for... If I was writing a book like that, I'm a tough guy. I stood up to those soldiers, man. We protected Jesus. No, they took off. Peter denies him three times. What kind of a story is that? And you expect people to believe it. You know, Mary Magdalene, there's some historians don't think she was a prostitute. She came from a village named Magdala. They dyed clothing, and they were fishermen. And some people think that she came from a very wealthy family and financed Jesus' ministry as he traveled by buying food and drink. So there's a lot of historians that, you know, you take a look at the Bible, and there's a lot of contradictions in there. Had we been writing it, as I mentioned, women couldn't even testify in court. Why does he reveal himself to a woman? Who would have believed that? There's one thing that I didn't put down on here that I need you to write down. It's called the Christ Comet. Go to YouTube and look up the discussion on the Christ Comet and how it relates to the star of the Christ Comet, C-O-M-E-T, and how it relates to the star of Bethlehem that they all talk about when Jesus was born. And there's a, I believe he's a physicist, that gives good reason. They can go back through all the history of the stars and the cosmos, and he gives reason for that star that the wise men knew where to go. That's really scary. This guy is really, really good. Yes?
I can't remember where I heard it or read it, but they said that 90% of the world's astronomers believe that there's a God.
Yeah. Yeah. I just can't put myself in the frame of mind after studying some of this stuff to think that we got here by any other means. It's just absolutely amazing to me that we could have just showed up out of some mud pool and been here. It's just absolutely amazing to me. And there's atheists that give Lawrence Krauss, he's another good atheist to listen to. They pose a lot of good points, and I think we just have to be prepared to speak to them. David Berlinsky, you know, one of the things that he mentions is that Darwin could not reconcile the eye. How the eye formed, because if you take away any portion of your eye, it doesn't work. And Darwin had a hard time figuring out how the eye came about, where all of a sudden it was there and it worked. That was one of the few things that he couldn't reconcile, and he even said so. So when you think about evolution, now there are some Christians out there that think that God created evolution and allowed us to evolve to where we are today. So that's another whole...
I mean, there's an element of truth to that, because when you get people together in a room, does it really take us that much to figure out there's a certain amount of, you know, you're marry a black woman or vice versa? There's a certain amount of evolution happening there. Maybe it's the wrong word, because now you have the kids going to have a different school for them.
Well,
I mean, so if you discredit like the word evolve, well, yeah, we have. Why are we whiter than Irish, meaning me? Why am I whiter than like an Italian? Well, if I spent 1,000 years in Africa, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
You're pigment your skin, so you know we can screw ourselves up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. There's you go to Northern Italy. A lot of the girls are blonde. Go figure. I mean, there's so much to be learned and so much to be discovered. But the fact of the matter is that we've got to start thinking about this so that we can give another. And I'm not saying that we're going to disregard the Bible. Absolutely not. But we've got to get people thinking along the lines of what we're talked about this morning. Because if you don't, I really don't see any other way. Besides bringing you, I'm sure you're going to be able to bring a certain percentage of people along by sitting down with them and showing them the Bible. But I think people are more apt to understand a little bit more about science. And then when they start thinking about, you know, yeah, maybe we were created. Maybe there is something else that's going on. Take a frog. Stick a frog in a blender. And then empty the blender into a bowl. And then stick it under a heat lamp. Stick it under the right conditions. It ain't going to be a frog. It's still going to be frog soup. That frog ain't coming back. And that's something that, you know, it's just, I can't see how we just showed up. I can't see how we just showed up. I think it's absolutely impossible for us to have just showed up. The odds are just stacked against anything like that happening, right? And we just have to be, you know, a lot of people are adamant about being Christians and trying to explain themselves, but I really think that this, the bottom line of Peter says it all, but respond with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who slander you will be put to shame by your good behavior. That's number one, is your good behavior, setting the example, and then being able to explain yourself in a number of different directions and just go from there. I mean, yeah, John. You do. You have to be decent about it. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to carry on an intelligent conversation. It's just not going to happen. You'll be at war from the drop of a hat, and you're never going to. You're just never going to be able to. You've got to ask questions. You've got to ask questions. And one of the first questions I always ask people: how do you think we got here? And go from there. And talk about and. And yep, it opens it up, and then talk about and then talk about design, and then talk.
No matter what you do, in any conversation, you've got the biggest thing: love. I have a friend, 35 years without atheist, professor, everything. I mean, 10 years of just really just absolutely intense. Even brought up here a couple times. Just. Unbelievably intelligent, just 1,000 more times more intelligent than I would ever be on a good day. And he could just out argue everything, and I decided a long time ago that I wasn't. I was just going to simply show him the facts. And now he's a Christian.
Really? Yeah.
And he is just on fire. And
yeah.
It's amazing that God laid that out. How that happens specifically, I don't know, but everything you're speaking today is just. Have to show love first.
Yeah.
Jim has another way of doing it. Not necessarily my way, maybe your way. That's where he comes from. And he has a lot of people that, in his set of realm, of people that can't really respond any other way than that.
Yeah.
But maybe you have different, and you have to talk to people calmly and loving way.
Yep.
I got phone calls at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, right before he was converting us. Christianity? Are all your children ready for the second coming? Y2K? Remember that?
Yeah. Yep, yep.
And he's like, I've said, my children know what they're supposed to believe in. It's up to them to make that decision. They're adults. And he's just really upset. And he just was forcing it down his kids' throat. I said, Dave, you spent 25 years preaching atheism to your kids. You're not going to scream it out of them.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Not going to work. And you do. You have to be gentle with people. And I got people in my my family that they just have no they got no idea. We were brought up Catholic. They never approached any of this stuff, any of it. And if it hadn't been for a best friend of mine who's been gone for 9 years now. And he helped lead me to Christ, and got me thinking about some of this stuff. And you know, I just haven't been the same. And I'll talk with anybody about it. But you've got to. The biggest thing is to ask gentle questions. You know, how do you think we got here? What do you think we're here for? How do you think all this got created? Go look at the stars at night. How do you think this all came about? You think it just exploded and we just happened to be here and the sun is so many miles away and the moon is so many miles away and if it was closer, so, this is planned. This stuff is planned.
My faith is first. I'm the first generation Christian in my family right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just making a mess. It's making a huge mess.
Yeah.
And that's why this is good for me to have some more information.
They're great debates. I mean, there's real good debates, and don't let the titles of some of this tell, because what I usually do if I want to listen to a debate, unless I know who's going to be debate, I'll put in Christian versus atheist debate on YouTube, and then there's a whole bunch of them that come up, and then you can choose some of them, and someone says, oh, Christian destroys atheist, atheist destroys Christian. Just play them. Just play them and listen to what these people have to say. And don't worry about the subtitles and the headings, because people are putting those on that are either biased. Just listen to what's going on out there and the reasons why these people believe what they believe, and you're going to be better able to explain yourself. And I thought about this subject today, talking on this. There was a couple of other things that I could have talked about, but I think this is very, very important. If we can't explain ourselves, we're just running around with our sails, taken down. We really are, and it's just so important to get an idea of what to be able to talk to people about, and then once they start thinking about it, then you can start bringing them into the Bible. And as I said, it's only my opinion, but I think there's a very, very small percentage of people you can hand a Bible to and say, okay, just start reading this from chapter. They're not going to, I don't think, some of them may get it, the majority won't. You've got to bring them along slowly, and I think science and the laws of nature and everything are one of the ways to do it, because everything is so ordered that it couldn't have just fallen into place. It is like Frank Turek said, it's like having copies of the encyclopedia, a full encyclopedia next to you, and think that was the result of an explosion in a printing shop. You know? The odds are just too against it. So we got to be able to explain, and I saw a great I saw something that's been rolling around in my head, and before we finish today, unless anything has anybody has anything else.
I just wanted to say about the when you talk about being gentle, you're prepared for subjects that you're just going to have to say it's a good question. I don't really know the answer to that, but oftentimes more than not, people, they're always trying to they're looking for answers. But they're trying to put blame somewhere.
Yeah.
One of the biggest conversations I've been having over the last year since politics is that the way our country is going. And I don't really have the answers to that, but I can tell you this. I can tell you the very simplest thing that I know, that George Washington made the first presidential proclamation. When they had the separation of Thomas Jefferson, the church and state, I'm not like an independence guy who studies all this, but some of the basics, it said, God first. It said that George Washington, when he formed this country as we know it, said God first. Sometimes they want to argue about government and say, look, I'm not really sure about that, but I do know that the first thing that our president, we all know as George Washington, most people know that, said this. So separation of church and state, somewhere maybe we got it wrong. So just diffuse it. Don't argue. Just, I don't know anything about this stuff. Just gentle.
Yep.
You'd be surprised about that.
And don't be afraid to admit that Christians have been wrong in the past about some of the things they've done. And don't be afraid to admit that you don't know the answer. Hey, I don't know, but I'll try to find out for you and I'll get back to you. That's the best thing you can do. And live that example. Yeah.
And you know what I've quoted to? 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves or repent. I can't remember.
Yeah. Just stay humble.
Basically.
Yeah. And think about this in humility. When you're going to explain why you believe what you do. Fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark. And brother, it's starting to rain. Brother, it's starting to rain. Be willing to explain yourself. Yeah.